I believe by combining these two important issues, first speaking about the information and communication technologies, and also trying to figure out what the role of young people in the post-2015 development agenda, will have a very rich summit. The focus will be trying to see how ICT can be an enabler to make sure that other development goals that have been proposed and debated so far will find their way to implementation. ICT and information communication technologies are almost intervening and facilitating everything in our life today. Now I'm talking to you using this mic, will be published online and would be available to so many. And I think ICT doesn't need us, anymore to make the case for the importance of information and communication technologies. It's everywhere. But with that, we are challenged with so many issues. One of them, the fact that many young people around the world, they can't access yet. They don't have accessibility to the ICTs. Even if it's accessible, sometimes it's not affordable. Another challenge that with all the debate that we have about ICT, it's important to remember that 75% of the people around the world are still offline. And this is a big challenge. We can't talk about development, inclusive development for all, without making sure that we are addressing the fact that many people around the world, they don't have access to ICTs. Many of them, they don't yet have access to electricity. So while we are talking about the post-2015 development agenda, this combination of talking about ICT and young people will be definitely a very enriching input for the post-2015 debate.
And does it make it easier for the young people who are now being born already inside the technological world, let's say?
It's easier, because if you look today for young people and you think about the first word that comes to your mind when we talk about ICT, it's usually young people. And it's almost correlation now between young people and innovation. They are the ones who are driving the innovations around the world. If you look at some of the biggest companies we have, it's driven by young people. It's time now also to think how we can expand our outreach, how to benefit this for more young people around the world. ICT can transform the lives of so many people around the world if they are empowered with the knowledge, the skills, and the tools to access and make good use of these tools. It's definitely easier, but thinking globally, and when you sit in the United Nations, you need to look to the entire world, you'll see that in many parts of the world, they still don't enjoy the access to information and access also to the endless possibilities that ICT can offer them.
Okay, Ahmad, I have two more quick questions. One is regarding young people. When they meet you, what do they ask you when you meet them face to face in those trips, like this one in Costa Rica is going to be?
Different questions. It depends on what are the priorities. But usually they ask me what the United Nations is doing and how the United Nations can do more for us. I once remember a young man told me in Dakar, in Senegal, he told me, "We don't see the United Nations with us in the streets." I told him, "Well, good for you. This means your country is stable, because we are in the street whenever there are big problems and emergency settings. In ideal worlds, we should be working with your government and also with the civil society to empower and to build the institutional capacities to deliver better services." Trying to explain the United Nations for young people and try to open for more entry points for young people to join the United Nations, to work with the United Nations. I really believe that the United Nations is not only about people working in the United Nations, but working with the United Nations. And to do that, you can work in a civil society organization, you can work wherever in government and align your work with the bigger picture that try the United Nations all the time to put it and to reach a consensus for the development and the world we want.
And have you got any special situation where they ask you for personal advice, for instance?
Yeah, well, just 2 days ago, I get a question from a student graduated from Harvard. She's Spanish. She wrote me an email explaining to me that she is planning to go back home, and she is writing to her friends and families. And everybody tell her that, no, don't come back, because basically there are no jobs now. So she was a kind of confused what to do. Similar questions, career advice, questions about how they can work, how to find their way in life. For me, just a pity sometimes to think of all this educated, talented, or this energy that young people around the world that is not channeled yet in the right directions. If they can't be channeled, the development of their communities, societies, and the world, they can really do great things. Governments, they need to do more. The UN, and we need to join forces. The private sector, they have a big share in this. We need to join forces. I believe to respond to the fact that the unemployment crisis that we have today, it requires global partnerships and national partnerships to realize that we should not lose this generation. It's a pity not to invest in them. Yesterday, a journalist told me, "You are being so idealistic." I told him that I thought I'm the most pragmatic here in this building, because it's just a matter of number for me. Half of the world population under 25 years old. What's idealistic about it? I'm very pragmatic. I'm just looking to numbers, and I remind everyone that half of the world population today under 25. Either we invest in education, we invest in healthcare, or provide them with job opportunities, more participation opportunities, or we'll be in big trouble.